A very good morning to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is day 5, 27 August 2024, Tuesday. So we'll be continuing from where we stopped, 8:30 to 9, Puja followed by morning chanting and reflection. Then afterwards, we will, instead of the 45 minutes of formal meditation, I think we will start off with the briefing for the taking of the Bodhisattva vow. So, thanks to the online people, Maika and Mita, that taking of Bodhisattva vow will start at 9. I will use about 1 hour for briefing. Then after that, we will proceed with the taking of the Bodhisattva. Okay. Turn to page morning chanting, page 5. Page 5. Okay. Let us get ready. You develop the Sadha, Virya, then mindfully we shall pay respect to Paja. Arahaṃ sammasambuddho bhagava buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādemi. Svākato bhagavata dhammo dhammaṃ namassāmi. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkhasangho sanghaṃ namāmi. Okay, we just chant Namo Tassa, then we end. Namo Tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Then we pay respect to Pajama. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujemi, Sanghang pujemi. Okay, so now you are chanting the morning chanting. To the blessed one, the Lord, who fully attained perfect enlightenment, to the teaching which he expounded so well, and to the blessed one disciples who have practiced well. To this, the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, we render with offerings our rightful homage. It is well for us that the Blessed One, having attained liberation, still had compassion for later generation. May this simple offering be accepted for our long-lasting benefits and for the happiness it gives us. The Lord, the perfectly enlightened and blessed one, I render homage to the Buddha, the blessed one.
Bow.
The teaching so completely explained by him, I
I
bow
bow
to
to
the
the
Dhamma.
Dhamma.
The Blessed One disciples
who have practiced well, I bow to the Sangha.
Now let us pay preliminary homage to the Buddha.
Homage to him, the blessed one, the worthy one, the fully enlightened one. Homage to him, the blessed one, the worthy one, the fully enlightened one. Homage to him, the blessed one, the worthy one, the fully enlightened one.
Now let us chant in praise of the Buddha.
The Tathagata is the pure one, the perfectly enlightened one. He is impeccable in conduct and understanding, the accomplished one, the knower of the world. He trains perfectly those who wish to be trained. He is teacher of gods and humans. He is awake and holy. In this world with its gods, demons and kind spirits, its seekers and sages, celestial and human beings, he has by deep insight revealed the truth. He has pointed out the Dhamma, beautiful in the beginning, beautiful in the middle, beautiful in the end. He has explained the spiritual life of complete purity in its essence and conventions. I chant my praise to the Blessed One.
I bow my head to the Blessed One. Now let us chant in praise of the Dhamma.
Well expounded is the Dhamma of the Blessed One, can be realized in the here and the now, beyond time, beyond thought, inviting investigation, leading inwards to the heart, Nibbana. Can be understood by the wise, each for themselves. I chant my praise to this teaching. I bow my head to this truth.
Now let us chant in praise of the Sangha.
They are the blessed ones, disciples, who has good conduct, who has upright conduct, who has wise conduct, who has dutiful conduct. That is the four paths, the eight kinds of noble beings. These are the blessed one disciples. Such ones are worthy of gifts, worthy of hospitality, worthy of offerings, worthy of respect. They give occasion for incomparable goodness to arise in the world. I chant my praise to this Sangha. I bow my head to this Sangha.
Now let us chant our salutation to the Triple Gem and a passage of encouragement.
The Buddha, absolutely pure with ocean-like compassion, possessing the clear sight inside of wisdom, destroyer of worldly self-corruption, devotedly indeed, that Buddha I revere, the teaching of the Lord, like a lamp, illuminating the path and its fruits, the deathless, that which is beyond the conditioned world, devotedly indeed, that Dhamma I revere, the Sangha, the most fertile ground for cultivation, those who have realized peace, awakened after the accomplished one, noble and wise, all longing abandoned, devotedly indeed, that Sangha I revere, to that which is worthy. Is it correct?
This salutation should be made.
This salutation should be made to that which is worthy, through the power of such good action, may all obstacles disappear. One who knows things as they are has come into this world, and he is an Arahant, a perfectly awakened being, purifying the way, leading out of delusion, coming and directing to perfect peace, and leading to enlightenment. This way he has made known. Having heard the teaching, we know this. Birth is suffering, aging is suffering, sickness, disease is suffering, and death is suffering, sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair are suffering, association with the dislike is suffering, separation from one's loved ones and our prized possession is suffering, not attaining one's wishes is suffering. In brief, the five aggregates of grasping are suffering. These are as follows: identification with the body, identification with feeling, identification with perception, identification with mental formation, identification with consciousness. For the complete understanding of this, the Blessed One in his lifetime frequently instructed his disciples in just this way. In addition, he further instructed Rupang Anicjang, Vedana Anicca, Sanya Anicca, Sankara Anicca, Vinyanang Anicjang, Rupang Anatta, Vedana Anatta, Sanya Anatta, Sankara Anatta, Vinyanang Anatta, Sabbe Sankara Anicca, Sabbe Dhamma Anattati. All of us are bound by birth, aging, sickness, and death, by sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair, bound by suffering and obstructed by suffering. Let us all aspire to complete freedom from suffering. The Blessed One who long ago attained parinibbana, is our refuge. So too are the Dhamma and the Sangha. Attentively we follow the pathway of that blessed one. With all our mindfulness and strength, may then the cultivation of this practice lead us to the end of every kind of suffering.
Let us rejoice. Let me do our closing puja.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Okay, the homage, closing puja. Arahang sama sambuto bhagawa buddhang bhagawantang abhivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami. Okay, you can be seated. And now we can start our Bodhisattva vow program. Okay, turn to your blue book. Cultivating the Bodhisattva way here. Yeah? I will go through some of the important introduction. Yeah? Turn to page 2, preface. Page 1 is the biodata of me. So if you want, you can read them. Then you go to the preface so that you understand how this book come about, how all this cultivation of the Bodhisattva way comes to be. This book is compiled from the combination of 4 transcripts arising from 4 different Dhamma talks delivered by Brother Teo on the topic of walking of the Bodhisattva way and the taking of the vows over a period of about 2 years. The first talk was delivered on the 2nd January 2015. Followed by the second talk on the 19th of April 2016. Then the third talk on the 26th of April 2016. Then finally, the last talk on the 28th of September 2016. It is Brother Teo's sincere wish that all Dhamma friends, spiritual practitioners, seekers of truth and cultivators, will be able to make use of this enclosed Bodhisattva Way Dhamma transcript note to develop a clear and better understanding of the cultivation of the Bodhisattva Way and the Buddha Dhamma as taught by the Buddha, so that they may progress along the path of Dhamma to become more virtuous, nobler, and wiser human beings, so as to be a blessing to all of humanity and the world. As these notes are mostly compiled based on direct transcript from the recorded talks dated as mentioned above, the texts are aligned as closely as possible to the colloquial speeches in those talks. However, some editorial amendment has been made to the text without this detracting from the essence of the talk. With this, it is hoped that readers can adjust themselves accordingly to better understand the true meaning and intent. A good way to do this is to listen to the recording before reading this transcript note. So, to listen to the recording audio file, you can log on to our website, broteo.com, Or alternatively, there are links that you can click onto. Then, okay, that's about all. The acknowledgement, you can go and read yourself. Okay, introduction to the Bodhisattva Way, the first sharing. This one is very important. We are still early. We still have another 5 to 6 minutes before 8 a.m. So for those who have brought the fruits for puja offerings, you can prepare them for offering and get ready for the puja. Oh, this is at night, sorry, 8 p.m. Tonight we will have a very important discussion on the whole of the Bodhisattva Way cultivation and practices. And I will also explain to you the basis and understanding behind all this so that all of you can have the right understanding. A lot of people don't have the understanding because they think this is a very difficult way and they dare not even think about it. But when you come to understand, you will be very surprised. You will be very surprised because actually it's very easy, even though it may take very long. As I always emphasize, I say you must have the faith, the very strong faith, sadha, and sincerity, and a lot of perseverance. Then you must have a lot of love and compassion. Now, this one is very important because taking the Bodhisattva Way is because of our love for living beings, out of love and compassion for all the suffering beings, we undertake the four basic vows to liberate all beings and take them across. So with this, you have these three things, faith, sincerity, and perseverance. Everything will just happen, even though we may talk about aeons and aeons of cultivation. But in terms of time, this is very normal because a lot of Sammasambuddha took much longer, especially Amitabha Buddha. It took him 12 world cycles to perfect all virtues and wisdom needed to complete the cultivation, even though it was done in such a way which seems quite impossible to many. Yet, he could accomplish it. If Amitabha Buddha could complete it, there is no other Sammasambuddha who cannot complete it. Well, his vows were extremely extensive and unusual, yet he was able to perfect them until Pure Land can become a reality. This was a great breakthrough. That's why the Pure Land teaching is very popular and very unique. The main thing that people don't understand is the uniqueness of all these great beings' nature. Can we on the second center light also? The center light. Who knows where the switch is? So if you know how to connect and develop the affinity with all these great beings' nature, then it can help you in many ways, especially your cultivation. This is just a briefing for those who are early. After, when we start, we will go through the whole thing again. Then you will participate and ask whatever question you have. Don't be shy, because this is a very rare opportunity or condition. When there is condition, if you don't ask, then when the form and mind is no more, there is no more condition for you to ask. So while this form and mind is still around, make full use of it. Then after that, I think Jin Hao came in. So Jin Hao, come, we are about to start the puja already. So yours is the last one. You can offer those garland over the Buddha Rupang or images. Okay, now it's exactly 8 p.m. We shall prepare for puja. maybe we will give Brother Suyan and Sister Mifeng the opportunity to light the candles and incense. Come, the both of you. You all haven't done puja here before. It's at my house, SS2. Come, come. You light the candle while Brother Suyan light the incense. You light the red candle while Suyan light the incense. These flowers from Sister Padmasri and Brother Tiu are very beautiful and very nice. We shall rejoice with all the offerings and we can start the puja now. So we should rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And now we also have candle. We also have incense. We let Padmasri come. You go and light the incense. Then all these fruits already offer. Oh, new one. Oh, okay, then we can have it. Yeah, good. Okay. So we will do a physical puja. Yeah? So that after that we can commence with the chanting. Yeah? Gather one circle. Yeah? Like the first day. Yeah? Sadhu. 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 So we have the proper train. Sadhu. 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 Do. Sadhu. 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 Okay, you all can be seated, then we shall commence our puja chanting. So develop our faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully together with all the understanding, we would like to commence our puja chanting. So we are very fortunate in the sense that today we are at Sampo Temple, and all the great beings nature are here. Yeah? So they will bear witness and support us, yeah, in our sincere aspiration to go this way, to take the Bodhisattva way. Yeah? But initially, we shall do the puja offering first. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Guan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo A Mi Tho Fo. Namo A Mi Tho Fo. Namo A Mi Tho Fo. Namo Mi La Fo. Namo Mi La Fo. Mi La Fo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Di Zhang A Wen Su Pusa. Namo Wen Su Pusa. Namo Wen Su Pusa. Namo Di Zhang Wang Pusa. Namo Di Zhang Wang Pusa. Namo Di Zhang Wang Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Okay, you all can be seated. Turn to page 4 of your retreat chanting book. We shall chant the precepts. Eh? So those who take the 8 precepts, you chant the whole series. Those who take 5, you stop at number 5.
Panati pata veramani sika padang samadhiyami. Adidana veramani sika padang samadhiyami. Abrahmacharya veramani sika padang samadhiyami.
Musawadawiramani sikapadang samadhiyami suramiraya majapama tana Veramani sikapada samadhiyami Vijala bhojana veramani sikapadang samadhiyami Naca gita vadita visuka dasana Mala ganda vilipana Dharana mandana vibhusanya tana Veramani sikapadang samadhiyami Ucha sayana mahasayana Veramani sikapadang samadhiyami Then turn to your normal chanting book. We will recite from page 3 onwards. We will recite the offerings of light, Padipa Puja. Kanna Sara Paditena Ipena Tamadangsina
Diloka Dipang Sambuddhang Pujayami Tamonudang
Ganda Sambarayutena Dopena hang sukang hina Pujaye pujaniyang tang Puja bhajana muttamang Vanda ganda gunopetang Etang kusuma santatin Pujayami munindasa Siripada sarorohe Pujemi betang kusumena nena Punena metena Hotu mokang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tata yati vinasa bawang
Adivase tuno bante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutemang Adivase tuno bante Pale parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutemang Adivase tuno bante Bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatumutamang
Now we shall chant our puja aspirations based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings to the Triple Gem and to all the great beings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide. Just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path. Excuse me. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or power, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Okay, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Okay, we will continue. So, go back to the blue book. We have finished page 8, page 9. Okay. Now we will do the invocation to the devas. The last two paragraph of page 9. The blue book. Your Bodhisattva way, the blue book. You all got it? We finish everything until sadhu, 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 okay? Then I mention, okay, thank you so much. For those who just came in, we have just completed the puja offering and the puja chanting. Now we shall commence the invitation or invocation to the devas. So this one we will do together. You follow the blue book. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the devas and deities come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Okay, we get Engbi to help us lead the chanting, then we chant together.
Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Sadhammam Munira Sunantu Sagga Mokkhadam Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Sa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa. Iti pe so Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho. Vijjacharana Sampanno Sugato Lokavidu Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Anusanam Butto Bhagavati Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Pasiko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditabbo Vinyo Hiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Yadidam Chattari Purisa Yugani Atta Purisa Pukala Esa Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaniyo Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Okay, thank you so much, and we will now end our puja by paying respect to Tripa Jema. Buddhang pujemi, Dhammang pujemi, Sanghang pujemi. Okay, good. So now I will read to you what happened 9 years ago when we started this. Introduction to the causes and conditions for this taking of the Bodhisattva way and the cultivation of the Bodhisattva way to arise. So page 10 of the blue book. Just relax your body and mind and we will start our sharing. Tonight's session will be, listener, very unique and special, as I have promised you all many months ago, even before the Ermei San spiritual trip, to speak on this topic, walking the Bodhisattva way. I knew then there were causes and conditions for such a teaching to come to this world. And this particular condition was very unique because it actually came about when I was sharing the Buddha Dharma earlier on. Somehow this particular topic kept on arising. Then the funny thing is, all of a sudden, many Kayanamitas wrote email to me to inquire about this topic, cultivating the Bodhisattva way. They asked me about this type of cultivation. A few of them even told me before this. They dare not even dream of taking the Bodhisattva way. They are already very contented with the sainthood way. But somehow things happened. Deep inside them, they felt that there was something they had to do. Then because of all these conditions, when I saw the email and inquiry, I replied to them all. Then later on, another strong condition arose. When I was at the Ciji Jingshi bookshop at Tropicana Mall, that time it was established, but now I was told they closed already the shop. I just picked up one book with the title Wu Liang Yi Jing. I didn't really know why, what this Wu Liang Yi Jing was all about at that time. I only knew it was a Pure Land teaching. So I flipped over the book and saw this sutra. Then when I read the sutra, I found it strange but familiar. It first talked about the cultivation of all those great beings, the bodhisattvas, and how they cultivated the bodhisattva way. Then there was another section that talked about the perfection of Pusien Pusa. It was all in the sutra. Then when I read the one on the bodhisattva way, which I wrote to you all later, it was so beautiful. Well, everything that was written there, I realized I had already done them all before. So when the condition arose, I knew there were a lot of Kayamita who has the affinity, born of their past cultivation. They also felt something, and their nature somehow knew. This was something where they had to seriously develop the understanding. Then when I started to share some of the Bodhisattva ways cultivation, I came to know that many cultivators and living beings, because of their lack of knowledge and understanding of this way, they not even dream of walking this way, because it appeared to them like an impossible task. They had this thought that told them, this is not for me, impossible. But this is a fallacy. This is what your thought will tell you or say. That's why when you understand this teaching and the great vows, perfection and virtue of all the great beings, especially all the Buddhas and Sambuddhas, four Pusa, you will come to know how unique and special they are. You only need to develop the strong faith, the sincerity and the diligence to cultivate the affinity with them and connect to their nature and their vows. Then their nature and their vows will take you along and help you walk this way. The only thing that you need is the three quality that I always talk about. That is the faith, the sincerity, and the diligence to persevere. You must have very strong faith in the Triple Gem. And then you have to be very sincere. The third one is diligence or perseverance. When you have these three, then with some basic understanding and wisdom, you can connect to the way. You can develop affinity with all these great beings. Then when the affinities are there, the Bodhisattva way becomes very clear and easy. That's why you need to cultivate affinity with the Triple Gem. That's the reason why the Buddha asks you to take refuge. Taking refuge is to cultivate the strong affinity with the Triple Gem. But many Theravada practitioners fail to understand what taking refuge in the Triple Gem meant. The Triple Gem actually represents all the Buddhas, all the truth, which is the teaching, and all the enlightened disciples of all Buddhas. That's the reason why the triple gem is very unique and very beautiful. These three qualities are not difficult if you already have the understanding. So as you cultivate, as you move along the path of Dhamma, the condition will arise. And when you have the affinity with those great beings and you have the determination to cultivate this Bodhi mind, the cultivation will become clear. Do you remember our Taiwan spiritual trip where we visited Zhongtai Chanshi? Do you know what was written on their booklet or leaflet? What was the main reason this monastery was built? It was told to us that every year millions of people will visit this place, will come and visit this place. Then what do they look forward to? Yes, the Bodhi thought to plant the seed of Bodhi, to arise the Bodhi mind, Bodhi Singh, to go this way. Cultivators and visitors to their way place only have to develop the faith and condition to arise a single thought of Bodhi to walk this way. Then the world will never be lacking in all of the great beings, because it will start, oh sorry, it all starts with that single thought of Bodhi. It is just this single thought of Bodhi to realize enlightenment. Then one must have the faith, perseverance, and compassion to walk this way. I will connect all this understanding to the Bodhisattva precept and its vow. The Bodhisattva precepts and the vows are very important. These initial precepts and the vow can already take you along. But later on, as you walk this way, you will know how to modify all the basic vow to suit. And you can also include all the special vow that your nature has. You will come to understand all this later. That's why every Bodhisattva is different. Every Sammasambuddha is different. But the four basic vow of the Bodhisattva are basically always the same. And they complement the three types of pure precepts which the Bodhisattva takes. I will explain to you all later. Now I'll read to you some of the email I received for you to develop the faith and the understanding. Then we can continue with the sharing. If you have any question, you can ask. You are free to ask. Do make use of this condition to ask. While this form and mind is still around, whatever you want to know about this Bodhisattva way and the Buddha Dhamma, you should ask. Otherwise, when the condition ceases, whatever you want to know or ask is already too late. It was the case with Venerable Ananda. When Sakyamuni mentioned that he would come to pass in 3 months' time, Ananda was crying in grief, where he was only a Sotapanna then. And he had so much emotion until he forgot to ask the Buddha all the important questions. Luckily, Venerable Anuruddha, the other disciple of Sakyamuni Buddha, advised Ananda to ask a few key questions before the passing of Sakyamuni. Hence, at the last minute, Venerable Ananda went to ask the Buddha those important questions. He asked the Buddha, "After you are gone, who should we follow?" The Buddha replied, "Follow the Sutra and the Vinaya." This means all the discourse he had taught and the precept he had laid down. The main core precept must be held onto. But he did say, as for the other minor precept, one can do away with them depending on the condition and the situation. After that, I think Venerable Ananda was also told to ask a few other questions, even though what he wanted most was for the Buddha to stay. But the Buddha said no point, because when the Buddha made that decision, he told Ananda, "This physical body of mine, this Nimanakaya, was already like a worn-out block guard, waiting to collapse any time. So Sakyamuni Buddha's great compassion and love for the world and sentient being had deprived him of enough rest. That was the reason why he passed away early at the age of 80 only, whereas most of his disciples was able to live until the age of 120. As per my advice earlier on, when there are conditions, do make full use of them. Okay, I will read to you one of this email that I have compiled and sent out. I think there are two. I will read to you this one first. The first one that I sent out was after I got the book from Ciji, Wu Liang Yi Jing. Chapter 1 on virtue is so beautiful. The moment I read it, my nature rejoiced because I understood what it is. That's what my mind was at that time. You have to listen to this. When you go this way, when you take the Bodhisattva vows or precepts, do start with the planting of the first seed of Bodhi thought or the Bodhi mind, because finally, your whole cultivation will embody all this understanding. This is mentioned in the Sutta of the Innumerable Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing, Chapter 1 on Virtue. So the whole cultivation centered on virtue, nothing else. From virtue, the whole teaching comes about. Without wisdom, there is no real virtue, always remembered. You need to have wisdom to have true virtue. Otherwise, good according to you, the individual, good. The sutra say, true bodhisattvas are wise beings with great compassion. This is the opening statement. Then the sutra further describe, their mind is tranquil, ever abiding in meditation, peaceful, free of desire, and immune from any kind of delusion or wrong thought. Theirs is a mind of translucent purity with vast, profound vows. They hold these vows unwaveringly for countless aeons. Having attained great wisdom, they penetrate all law and come to understand all the innumerable teaching. They brings refreshing coolness and help clean away ignorance. With boundless compassion, they work to relieve suffering beings. Bodhisattvas are living beings' true friends, mentor, and guides. They help and enable living beings to cultivate a great field of merits and blessing. Without being asked, they offer guidance to living beings. They are living beings' place of security and happiness. They uphold the Buddha's precept of purity and never break them even at the cost of their life or at the risk of their life. They never become angry even when harmed, cursed, or insulted. Their mind abide in Dhamma day and night. They abide in their vows of purifying the world of all negativity and unwholesomeness of body, speech, and mind. Then after that, I received a few more of this type of email. One of them was from a very special Kayalimitta. It was definitely a lady because all these were mainly written by ladies. So ladies, somehow you all are different. The title she used was Arahatta and the Bodhisattva Path. She said, I have been resisting giving the issue about the Arahatta and the Bodhisattva vow any serious thought since I am still a Puttujana, no wisdom as yet. I have intended to wait till I have some measure of wisdom, that is, after attaining the path and fruition before deciding on the specific path to take. However, there seems to be some unease each day for the time being. I only aspire to work towards arahantship. So a lot of cultivators, especially Theravada tradition, they have this, what they call, noble wish or aim. I have no courage or wisdom whatsoever to walk the Bodhisattva path. Then last Friday, on the 10th of October 2014, when I read your email about the Bodhisattva way, I don't know why, but I was so touched and moved to tears that my tears flow freely. I am similarly moved to tears each time I recite mindfully Fuxian Pusa's 10 Great Vow in Mandarin. After your explanation, I knew they are tears of gratitude and joy. Then on Monday, I received the WhatsApp message reminder from a very patient Mahayana friend who has been asking me to seal Bodhi Singh. It means to cultivate the Bodhi mind, to walk the Bodhisattva way. So these two reminders came back, meaning to aspire for the Bodhisattva way and to cultivate the Bodhisattva way. Somehow this time I didn't resist and I kneeled down humbly before the Buddha Rupang and expressed my sincerely my initial aspiration or vow to cultivate the Bodhisattva way and humbly requested Guan Yin Bodhisattva, the great compassionate Bodhisattva, to help and guide me along the way. Then when I sat down to meditate, the heart kept on playing non-stop in my mind, even when I was sleeping. This lasted for a few days. I really need all the guidance and help to cultivate the Bodhisattva way. Hope I had the condition to cultivate the parami needed to support me along the way. And this is quite common now. You don't think this is very rare. That chanting, the Kuan Yin Bodhisattva's mantra and all those, yeah, they just keep on running inside the heart. No? Then even in the sleep, no? Yeah, for a few days. No? A lot of Kayamita told me the same thing. Sometimes they go on spiritual trip also same. The moment they landed, the Putosan trip, that thing already playing. Then the second part is on delusion and dream state. When I contemplated on all this dream that I had, I realized that when the egoic mind was not the main character in the dream, I had complete awareness of the dream. See? When the egoic mind was not in charge. From when I was about to start, right to the end, when the dream ended, I could even become a critic of the dream in the dream state itself. However, when the egoic self or mind was the main character in the dream, such detached awareness of its arising was lost, and I was completely sucked right into the dream and got myself entangled in the emotion and feeling. This delusion was extremely strong. An example was the dream I had yesterday morning. I was climbing up a very tall ladder. When I was about 3 steps below the peak or summit, I felt very dizzy and was about to fall off the ladder. When I looked down, I couldn't see the ground. Then I sensed the feeling of fear arising. Then suddenly a very strong voice said, "You are not dizzy and you are not falling." In that instant, all feeling of dizziness and fear of falling vanished without a sign or trace. In the dream, I was totally amazed at the sudden and complete transformation or change. After that, I was able to climb up and down the ladder without any dizziness or fear of falling down. Well, dear, thank you so much for taking the time to read my ramblings with patience and compassion inspired, and drives me to cultivate sincerely with metta, and I respect always. Signed. So this was the email. We should all rejoice with the wholesomeness. We are saying, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then there are many of you, maybe at this point of time or in time, you may not know your past as yet, because you have not really connected and developed the ability to recall your past cultivation, not really in the sense of recalling past life. Recall here means, after you have connected, then all the understanding will come back to you. It's not about reading past life, because this spiritual nature is different from the karmic nature. I have explained this during our last Thursday class sharing. The transcript is going to be ready soon. We shall read that book. Who are you? What are you? Again. How the two nature, the spiritual nature and the karmic nature, interact, and how the form and mind come about. So who are you and what are you? It's all very clearly explained in that book. It's the green book at the back. I got bring some. Like what I had explained, the moment you are born, karma will come into play, because according to the Buddha, you are born on your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of karma. And when the Buddha said you are born of your karma, he is not referring to your true nature. He is referring to your form and mind, the karmically conditioned form and mind, which is subject to karma. Then there is another nature, which is the spiritual nature. And this spiritual nature is unlike your karmic nature. Just like what I have explained in the talk, it is all in the transcript book. It is very easy to understand and also very clearly explained in that. Regarding the spiritual nature, not until you connect with your true nature, you cannot inherit anything from there. When you know how to meditate and how to silence your mind, then you can connect. The moment the silent mind touches the nature, the form and mind will understand a lot of things. That form and mind will progress very fast. It will understand what sati is. It will also understand what that nature is. Then once you go through cessation of form and mind, you will have passed by the enlightenment stages of the sainthood way. But if you have cultivated this before, it will move across very fast. Like you just, breeze through. And you will reach back to your cultivation path pretty fast. Just like this coming. After I connect in 1989, very fast, the whole thing came back within 9 months, I remember. That's how you inherit from the spiritual nature. Then you want to, you can understand many things via the silent mind. Once connected, you inherit your nature's past perfection and cultivation. You will understand the Dhamma very fast and very easily. You may also come to realize that earlier on, you may not understand many of these things, but all of a sudden you can understand them now. And there are a lot of things you will come to understand. Things which you may not have learned them this life, and yet you can understand. You will also come to know how they actually arise, and how they pass away, and how all these are possible. Just like what happened to me since the year 1986, everything just happened. The teacher come, the book come, the guide come. Then within 3 years after I connect, all this past understanding came back to me. Then when I read the sutra, or when I heard truth, I could just comprehend and understand them, even though some of this understanding were not written in any book before. There was no doubt or fear, nothing, because the Dhamma is Pachetang, can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. And there is no doubt, and everything is very clear. Because of that, you will come to understand all this when the time comes. That's why I always said, you will never know who you are until you connect. Do you remember Brother Song? He's the only few male Kayanamita connected thus far at that time. He always tell me or talk to me, but he never writes me any email. Initially, he also had this thought, because the mundane mind could not understand. He always said he was very chao in Mandarin, means not so good, meaning very slow and weak in his cultivation. But the moment he connect, he moved so fast. How is it possible? Things that he never understood before, after he connect, the moment he read the Dhamma notes, my transcript, that Patisyasamuppada teaching again, he straight away understand, despite the fact that before he connect, he had tried reading them 6 times. Yet he could not understand or comprehend. But all of a sudden after he connect, he read the notes again and he could understand. The reason being, this teaching comes from the silent mind. So if you had not realized the silent mind or pure awareness nature, have not realized the silent mind's awakening, you cannot understand. Then many things just happen. And he is now so clear about the great difference between thought-based meditation and awareness-based meditation. And he kept on having this joy of understanding for 2 or 3 months. Let me drink. My throat is a bit dry. Or oh, can ink be read? Page 17. Second paragraph.
And he kept on having this joy of understanding for 2 or 3 months after he had connected. Then he kept on sharing with others and me, reporting things that a normal person could not understand. So these are the things that are possible, and your time will also come. You only need to develop the faith. The 3 things I had written on the whiteboard, i.e. sadda, faith, the sincerity and the diligence, then just cultivate and don't try to know. Forget about what the thoughts are telling you, like, this way is so difficult, impossible, not for me, etc. No more such gullible thinking. We are also very blessed or lucky because when we went to the Fagu San, the monastery of Master Shen Yan in Taiwan, I saw this book, The Bodhisattva Path, Direction to Buddhahood. When I flipped through the pages, I saw that it was very simple and very easy to understand, because this is written for people who are keen to walk the path. It is very simple and very basic, and this is where and how you start. Afterwards, I will read it to you. I hope I have the time. Almost an hour has gone. Okay, I better finish off all these emails first before it is too late. Now I will read to you my reply to her. I wrote to her and I said, Mahasadhu to you for your strong faith and good past. I really rejoice with your wholesomeness. The Bodhisattva way is not difficult when you understand. And there's a lot of joy too. Just like what the Heart Sutra said, true emptiness is wonderful existence. Based on what you had shared below, you definitely have good past, condition, and affinity to walk this way. So do not allow the thought to deter you. Cultivate great affinity with Guan Yin and other great beings and Sammasambuddhas, and make the appropriate aspirations and vows to go this way. Then everything will just follow and fall into place. Be sincere, have faith, and persevere with strong resolve. Then all will be well because their nature will help, bless, protect, and guide you. Always remember, you have to ask for their blessings, protections, and guidance. Do you know why you need these three blessings, protections, and guidance? You need to be blessed. It's easy to understand. Then why must you ask them to protect you? Your true nature never dies, isn't it? So why do you need protection? It is to protect this form and mind, which is very fragile. Like I always say, this form and mind is very fragile, vulnerable, and very delicate. If the supporting conditions cease to be or disappear, then death can occur. This form and mind is just a vehicle and tool for you to come and develop the cultivation, etc. Every life, if you come as a human being, you may not have much time to cultivate, to develop the understanding, because you have to go through the three phases of life. As a kid, you don't know anything as yet. Then you go to school, finish your studies, and go out to work. Then with the worldly duties, you will have no time for your spiritual cultivation. So only those who have their vows and their past perfection or cultivation, their karma will take them along, and they will know how to do this cultivation early. Then you have to connect. After connecting, only then can you continue with your cultivation. So every life you come, you actually do not have much time. A lot of people don't even have that condition to come into contact with the Buddha Dhamma. So if you don't have their protection before you even connect, chances are the form and mind is already gone. Like this life, I myself can recall not less than three incidents this form and mind of mine were supposed to die before it even get connected. So it was because of this nature's affinity with these great beings, especially Kuan Yin Bodhisattva's nature, they had protected this form and mind of mine from dispersing. And they don't have to be around because it can manifest via their vows and their understandings of the nature's law that governs all of life and existence. And it will also know how to connect. Then life after life, because this nature of mind made these vows, these aspirations to seek their protection via the power of merits, wholesomeness, and understandings, hence this become possible. When you seek their blessing, protection, and guidance, their nature will continuously guide you, protect you, and bless you. That's why you are very well protected, like very lucky, very blessed, and properly guided. Then somehow everything will fall in place. That's why you must know how to develop and look for this affinity and connection. I will continue with my reply to the lady's email. I said, I will explain further when I meet up with you in person. There are many others too who are interested in going this way. Maybe we can gather them together and we can have a separate private session on this topic. Bye and with metta always. So that was the main condition that led to this first private session. I also promised you all that it will be held after our Ermeisan spiritual trip. I was thinking this year-end break was the best. Initially, a few other Kalyamitas told me they could not make it. But I think the turnout for the session, which is today, is very good. Most of us can make it and we should thank Sister Padmasuri for suggesting the date. Shall we all rejoice? Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Then after that, she replied to me. The title was Request for Guidance and Reporting. The lady Kalyamita said, Dear Brother Teo, I was filled with joy reading your email reply. I'm most thankful for my good karma to have you guiding me on this Bodhisattva way. It is a wonderful idea to have a private session with others who aspire on the same path. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And then she ends her email via signing off as with heartfelt gratitude and respect. And I replied to her saying, do listen to yesterday's 12th October 2014 Hu Bingjing Se recording and sharing, because there were conditions for some of the below understanding to be shared. Please do listen to the later part of the talk and the many mysterious things that happened on that day too. It was just like the earlier Klang talk on emptiness. There were some forces initially that tried to disrupt the talk, just like what happened at the earlier Klang talk. It was also because of power failure at Wu Bingqing Se, starting from 2:30 p.m. until 3:30 p.m. By and with Metta always. The talk in Klang on emptiness is the same too. It was interrupted. Initially, we had to start late because the chanting ended late. Then, after that, the microphone encountered problems. But all this when we allowed conditions to accord and flow, and when we didn't react to the problems, everything just fell back into place. At Hu Bingqing Se, it was also the same. The power failure actually started earlier. Then I remember Stephanie called me, Brother Teo, shall we cancel the class? I asked why. She said power failure at Wu Bingqing Se, without power, it is dark, hot and stuffy. Then she also said nobody turned up yet except Sister Man Yuan. Then I said never mind, we will continue with the class because we have already promised people, so we will have the class. From 2:30 to 3:30 p.m., there was still no power. We started meditation first, although normally we would start with the sutra first. Then as I was giving some instructions during meditation, the power suddenly came back and everything was back to normal. After that, we had a very good sharing. Somehow there were conditions on that day after the power resumed, and when I started the sharing after the meditation, the moment I wanted to share the Bodhisattva way and the cultivation, all of a sudden it rains, and the rains was very heavy and it really pours. The thunder was also very loud. It was pouring heavily outside. Then all of a sudden there was a very loud burst of thunder and the power tripped again. That was because the higher beings were rejoicing. Again the power was reconnected. I think Mimi was there with her husband. They came to join us late. So many things just happened. Nature is like that. There is nothing psychic about these types of things. It's just nature's way, because very likely the higher beings also want to know about this cultivation. So there were many conditions for all this to arise. This can also help many of you to develop the faith. So do listen to the sharing on that day attentively.
Okay, I think we have to stop. We have to commence our Bodhisattva vow. Okay, thank you, Sister Abby. The rest, I think you have time, you go and read on your own. Then what I want to share is one more part. The five stages of Bodhi mind development. When you walk this path, there are 10 grounds of Bodhisattva cultivation under the Mahayana teaching, the sutta. But there is also one part that describes the whole cultivation via the Bodhi mind. So these five stages of Bodhi mind development is the same as the 10 grounds of the Bodhisattva cultivation. So these five stages of Bodhi mind development is very interesting. Page 88, paragraph 2. When you take the Bodhisattva vow, the first stage of Bodhi mind development is to aspire sincerely to walk this way, so that the seed of Bodhi is planted deep in your nature or in your consciousness. Is this first step very difficult? Is it very difficult to make aspiration? No, isn't it? If you have the faith, it's very easy. Is there any danger? There is none, isn't it? So forget about what people tell you. Those who don't understand, they put fear into people. They say, don't play. Taking the Bodhisattva way is a serious matter. Yours involves eons and eons of cultivation, meaning the ego is there, delusion is there, and the fear that arises is from delusion. And these people who say all these things are not much different from those rigid Theravadian Buddhists who doesn't believe in the Mahayana teaching. And they go around telling people that the Mahayana teaching is not the real teaching. You do all this and put fear into all those potential aspirants who wants to walk this Bodhisattva way to plant the seed of Bodhi, then do you know what will happen to you in the future? You will be obstructed, coming obstruction from receiving the Mahayana teaching for many, many lives to come. That's the reason why recently there were a few, two or three Kalimitta who came and talked to me on this matter because of what they had heard and read about from other sources. They said, going this way is very dangerous. There are a lot of things you cannot realize or do. And there's a lot of restriction too. Some even quote the sutta. Then a lady say, I'm not ready. I don't have this type of quality. Then I reply, please do understand that all these are your thoughts telling you. This is not wisdom. What have you got to lose to make all this aspiration and the taking of the four basic vows of the Bodhisattva? Does it cause you any problem, harm, or it only benefits you? All these are very simple inquiry. And the four basic vow doesn't even say you cannot do this, you cannot do that. It is no different from just taking the precept, except now you vow to an understanding which is even more beautiful. So I will give this book to those who have the understanding, condition, and affinity to receive them. Yun Chan, you have the original copy there. That time, book, I think, Method of No Method. It was Yun Chan who brought back from Taiwan and passed to me. Yeah. Then turn to page 102. Okay, this is where the taking of the Bodhisattva way commence. You can get ready your yellow card also, huh? This yellow card you have? You don't have, never mind. You follow this blue book, huh? Taking of the Bodhisattva vow, huh? You turn to page 103, huh? Taking of the Bodhisattva vows. Now we shall prepare ourselves, develop the faith, sadha, and the virya, then mindfully we'll do it together. I will first read to you the preparatory part. So this one, you have to listen attentively with the faith, the sincerity, and the understanding. As is traditional, you may seek out a Buddhist center or a temple or a shrine to take the Bodhisattva vow in the presence of a teacher. Or you can, if you cannot do so, you can take them at home in front of your sacred altar or shrine. So here at Sampo Temple, this is the most conducive, and that's all. We not only can take it here where all the great beings' nature is, but this place is very unique, very conducive. Then you have the Kayamita, collective consciousness, the great beings' nature, to witness and help you. And at the same time, you must also understand you are in the midst of our annual retreat. You have built up this pure virtue, merge, and state of mind, ready to renew. For those who have taken, they can renew. For those who are new, you can, based on this yellow card, follow. If you are not ready, it's up to you. You don't have to join. So there is no specific like compulsion or what. It's up to the individual. If you feel you are not ready, if there is doubt, fair enough, you make your choice, your decision. But if you have the faith and the understanding you are ready, then you can together join us. Those who are online Zoom, you want to follow, you also can do it from your house. Then you must do this. One must make strong aspiration to take this Bodhisattva vow with great faith, understanding and sincerity in front of the Buddha or any great Bodhisattva who had gone forth before you. Tonight we have all the great beings' nature here. Sakyamuni Buddha, Amitabha Buddha, Maitreya Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, Pusen Pusa, Tizang Wang Pusa, and all the other Maha Bodhisattva and Buddhas of all the 10 directions. Together in front of them, we shall make this strong resolve and aspiration to take this vow. Are you all ready? Ah, louder lah, ayo, taking this vow also not ready, hesitate, ayo. So tonight, we have all the great beings' nature here. Oh, that one I have read. Okay, if you are ready then, be in the kneeling position to develop the great resolve and make this special aspiration to walk the Bodhisattva way sincerely and with great determination and understanding. This is just to make the aspiration to walk this way, so it's very easy. Not the taking of the vow as yet, but you must determine strongly, because later on, I will explain to you how to develop the actual vow after you have made the special aspiration to walk this Bodhisattva way. Without this right view and right understanding, you cannot walk this way successfully. That's the reason why you must make this aspiration for you to have the understanding life after life. Now I will teach you all how to invoke this aspiration. You all can recite after me following the notes. Instead of following this book, you turn to the yellow card, easier. Okay, page 1. Taking of the Bodhisattva vow. We will kneel in front of the altar. You get ready. This one is the making of special aspiration to walk this Bodhisattva way. Together we recite. One. By the power of whatever blessings and wholesomeness that this nature of mine had cultivated from the distant past till now, may it arise a causes and condition for this nature of mind to have the following right Dhamma understanding life after life, whenever it choose to come or have to come in a form and mind. Right view with regards to karma, karma niyama, the law of dependent origination or dwelling, Citta Niyama, and the Four Noble Truths, Dhamma Niyama. To understand the two aspects of the five aggregates of form and mind clearly, via the direct seeing, to realize that they are all conditioned arising entity, causal phenomena, hence impermanent, leading to suffering, not me, non-self and empty. That this so-called living being, the five aggregates of form and mind, is just a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for me to come to this existential world to develop the cultivation and experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. So use it with wisdom to arise the right thought, right speech, and right action to be a blessing to all, and not to be deluded by it. To constantly recite with understanding the following Dhamma profoundly. Rupang anicchang, Rupang anatta, Vedana anicchang, Vedana anatta, Sanya anicchang, Sanya anatta, Sankara anicchang, Sangkara anatta vinyanang anicang vinyanang anatta sabbe sangkara anicang sabbe sangkara dukkhang sabbe dhamma anatta. Having developed the above right views, this nature of my vows to always keep the three sets of pure precept, following the advice of all Sama Sambuddha, to avoid all evil and to understand clearly what constitutes evil, the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion are evil. Then to cultivate all virtue and blessings leading to the perfection of them all. Then to cultivate wisdom to help liberate and take across all sentient beings. Okay, now taking of the four basic bodhisattva vows. This is the very important part. You develop the faith, then you listen attentively. Then mindfully, we shall do it. I will read this first part first. You listen. Just as all the previous Sukhata, the Buddhas, generated the Bodhi mind of enlightenment and accomplished all the stages of the Bodhisattva training, so too were this nature of mind for the sake of all living beings. Generate the Bodhi mind of enlightenment and accomplish all the stages of Bodhisattva training so that the seed of Bodhi can be strongly planted within my nature. Okay, so now together we shall recite. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Just as all the previous Sukhata, the Buddhas, generated the Bodhi mind of enlightenment and accomplish all of the stages of the Bodhisattva training, so too were this nature of mind, for the sake of all living beings, generate the Bodhi mind of enlightenment and accomplish all the stages of the Bodhisattva training, so that the seed of Bodhi can be strongly planted within my nature. Okay, then now we will commence the taking of the vow. We recite together. This nature of mind further vows with utmost sincerity, faith, and perseverance to walk to perfection this Bodhisattva way. We are taking the following initial four basic vows of a Bodhisattva. This nature of mind vows to liberate the countless living beings from samsara and take them all across to the other shore. This nature of my vows to endure and severe all vexation and suffering. This nature of my vows to cultivate and penetrate all dhammas, to realize the perfection of all wisdom. This nature of my vows to perfect the 10 paramitas of perfection, to realize the unsurpassed Sama Sambuddhahood. Then turn to next page. We will recite the additional vow to break all karmic obstruction to bring about the way. So this one is very important. So you all make the resolve. Then in front of the altar, you recite together with me. Okay. I sit on the chair, then you all follow me and we recite together. But you continue in your kneeling position. You must have the faith to do all this. Okay. Additional vows to break all my coming obstruction to bring about the way. Number one, together. If by action, speech, or thought, whether knowingly or unknowingly, we are ignorance, delusion, and heedlessness, that this nature of mine had offended or done anything wrong out to the triple gem, Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, this nature of mine would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness. Pay respect. Then the second additional vow. Whomsoever from the distant past until now, whether knowingly or unknowingly, that this nature of mine had caused any karmic negativity, misery, suffering, or misled, this nature of mine would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness from them all. May my sincere request for forgiveness accepted by all, so that all this karmic obstruction can be amicably dissolved, or watered down, or lessened, thereby enabling this nature of mind to continue with its cultivation to realize the true Dhamma with ease. Bow. Then number three. Together we recite. This nature of mind also vow to repent, and from now onward, vow never to repeat any of these karmic negativities born of greed, hatred, and delusion, by following the advice of all Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify my mind. We are striving on with heedfulness to keep the five precepts and cultivate the Buddha Dhamma diligently, so that it will never violate this law of karma again whenever it arises. Bow. Then lastly, by the power of whatever wholesomeness or merits that this nature of mine had cultivated since the distant past until now, may arise the causes and conditions for this nature of mine to have the ability to overcome all other karmic obstruction or obstacle amicably, so that this nature of mind will be able to gain back its life, life after life, to walk the path of Dhamma, to fulfill and realize all its bodhisattva vows. Then the last page is additional miscellaneous vow to enhance your cultivation. So this one you can add on your own later on. Yeah. But this few I think is basic. So you recite it, it will help you. This nature of my vow to be successful in fulfilling all my above vows soonest possible. Then repeat, this nature of my now vows to cultivate strong affinity with all Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, and to request their nature's blessing, protection, and guidance always. Then we continue. This nature of my vow to strengthen my five spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya, until they become balas or power, life after life, so that all the above vows can be successfully fulfilled with ease. Then finally, this nature of my vows to cultivate extensively all virtues, blessings, and merits to help support my cultivation, so that they will shine forth to aid this nature of mine when needed in time of tribulation, difficulties, and tribulation while walking this bodhisattva way. Okay, let us now rejoice and you can pay respect. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully and develop the joy before you do, when you do, and after. So that one will help you. I just have to maybe share with you all on one part, the five stages of Bohemian development. I didn't bring my original copy. In my original copy, I have marked them, but I don't know which page is it now. Let me check on it. Now, this one is very beautiful. The five stages of Bohemian development. Okay, maybe turn back to 96, the paragraph before, where it's all connected. The last paragraph, page 96, last paragraph. We use the above essential Dhamma cultivation and wisdom to cut off the section in ourselves and help others do the same. In so doing, we realize renunciation and compassion, which is none other than the Bohemian. That's the reason why, when you are no longer deluded, do not cling and do not attach. Because you have wisdom, and that is also the reason why you can renounce all the illusion. Then listen from here onward. In the Avatamsaka Sutta, or the Flower Ornament Sutra, or Huayanjing, there is this phrase, when the Bodhicitta or Bodhi mind is generated, one ultimately attains Buddhahood. That's why you need to plant that seed so that you can arise the causes and conditions for you to be reminded of this cultivation, vows and understanding, life after life. This is the teaching of awakened mind entering the path of Buddhahood. We are arousing the Bodhi mind. Maybe much or it may be little, but it is a great accomplishment. You may not fulfill this path completely, but you have at least gained a strong foothold, and you are certain to attain Buddhahood in the future. In that sense, one attains Buddhahood when Bodhicitta is generated. Someone who gives rise to Bodhicitta and also vow to benefit living beings is a Bodhisattva. So now, after you plant this seed of Bodhi, you already fulfill the first part. It's just like mentioned here, whoever who can give rise to this Bodhicitta or Bodhi mind and also vow to benefit all living beings is a Bodhisattva. Rejoice, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then we come to the stages of Bodhi mind development. This is the one I want to share with you all tonight. Arousing Bodhi mind establishes one on the path to Buddhahood, but it is still an embryonic Buddhahood. According to the Mahapragna Paramita Sutta, the Great Perfection of Wisdom Sutta, complete Buddhahood is realized after you have fulfilled all the five stages of Bodhi mind development. What is the first stage of Bodhi mind development? It is the Bodhi mind that first aspire to be a Buddha. We are making that resolve, aspiration, sincerely with faith, and you are willing to persevere to realize it. So the first stage of Bodhi mind cultivation is very simple. And everybody who has the condition, sincerity and faith, you should determine to make this aspiration and affirmation. To plant the first seed of Bodhi, to walk this way, for you have nothing to lose. Then you can go on to develop wisdom through the cultivation of the four basic vows. Then when you have developed the wisdom, what will happen? The Bodhi mind that subdues affliction will arise, which means you are able to subdue all affliction, meaning no more suffering, meaning you are already wise. Hence, you are no longer deluded by the phenomenal world of consciousness or the conditioned world of consciousness. That is the second stage of Bohemian development. Then the third stage is the Bohemian that illuminates the Buddha nature as enlightenment. Means you not only awakened, became enlightened, but you managed to illuminate that nature within, your true nature, until it becomes so clear, which means you have connect via the great way, the gateway. You are able to transform and illuminate that nature within. That's the reason why the third stage will make you a true bodhisattva. The gateway cultivation via trust, our fourth support, you will do later on in the cultivation, unless you have your past cultivation and the condition to support you. And this third way is very powerful. After that, you will never regress. Then after that, you move on to cultivate via the Bohemian that renounces samsara to attain Buddhahood. This means you already know samsara is just form and mind, not me, and not a reality, which means there is no reality. That's the reason why you will be able to renounce samsara. You won't be afraid of it anymore. You won't worry about it anymore, even when the thought tells you. This way may take aeons and aeons of cultivation. So how to take it? How to walk it? It's crazy. But that is just a thought telling you. That's the reason why the deluded one dare not do all this, because they don't understand. So for those who have the understanding, they can renounce samsara. Because samsara to them is wonderful, meaningful. But you must have the understanding of the true unconditioned Dhamma. That's why Heart Sutta mentioned, when you have realized true emptiness, zhen ko miao yu, then life become wonderful, existence become wonderful. Okay? But at the fourth stage, this delusion is no more. That's the reason why the bodhisattva can renounce samsara. For samsara is just a phenomenal world of consciousness, condition arising, cause of phenomenon. You must know how to come. That's the reason why one of my teachers told me, if you know how to come, you will know how to return. You can return to the source. If you don't know how to come, then what happened? All these are due to your delusion, because you don't know who you are, what you are, and how you come. Who takes you here? The law of karma takes you here, which is your inverted comma good friend take you here. Yeah? You want that good friend to take you here, no? Law of karma. If you don't want, you better do it. Then when you come, of course, you can also come through the karmic nature, but you are not being deluded by the phenomenal world. So the bodhisattva come, but they are not like ordinary being. After you die, there is avijja, ignorant. Then it conditions rebirth consciousness. For bodhisattva, you no longer have avijja. So what happened is, your vow, your first vow, when you vow to take across all living beings, to the other shore, that is out of love and compassion, understand? So that vow connect to the existential world's nature's law. So out of love and compassion, you come. Any avijja or not? No avijja. That's why you can take rebirth, understand? But only when you have this type of wisdom and vow. Because that vow is needed for you to plant your connection to the existential world's karmic law or nature's law. So when you have this mind, it's a pure mind that takes rebirth. No more avijja, understand? This pure mind is because I have this vow. Out of love and compassion, I come out with this vow. This nature of my vow to take across all living beings to the other shore so that they can be free from all suffering. And this vow It's very long, one answer. Because the whole of the universe, living being, you think you can take all across. It's going to take you a hell of a long time, one answer. No? So it purposely drafted so that it can enable you to understand the karmic law or the existential law, so that no avijja, yet you can have a karmic form and mind to arise as a living being. Understand? Whether it's a human being or not, it's your choice. That's why when you choose to come, is you can decide. Understand? In the Mahayana Sutta, there is a saying, when you have realized all this, liao liao jian xing chang zu, ambiguous, right? Can remember the Mandarin word, liao liao jian xing chang zu, means when you have clearly illuminate or realize your nature, your true mind or true awareness nature, actually you can decide to come at whatever time you want to come, and you can stay in that state for as long as you can. 常住, means you are not like immediately die, rebirth consciousness go, you got no choice, you have to come already. But this one you can choose to come, understand? Like my nature, I choose this transition period to come. And my nature has its vow and affinity with those beings that have affinity with my nature. So when it choose to come, very funny or no, it has the power to cause and condition all those affinities supposed to meet up with me and learn from me or not. They will all take birth also. Like my wife, younger than me by almost a year, or 1 year plus, I think. So immediately it happened. So no need to like plan or do anything. That's why everything is dependent, originating, condition, arising, causal, phenomenon. It depends on your affinity, your understanding. If you have affinity to connect to the great beings, then they will guide you, protect you, and bless you. And all this is all via nature's law, their vows, your faith, your affinity. How much you can receive depends on how you understand and live your life. So these are very important understanding, okay? So this Mandarin word we all read together. Hey, how come the whiteboard like that already? That side cannot see. Those who don't know Mandarin, maybe we have to explain a bit. Okay, liao liao jian xing. Correct or not, Mandarin word? Correct, huh? So jian xing means you realize your true mind, your true nature. Chang zu. So when you realize your true nature clearly, so this is the one that define what enlightenment is. Means that nature has been realized. The form and mind that develops the understanding sees and realizes that nature. Means you return from here, the mundane mind, back to this pure awareness nature. This is the pure awareness nature. Liao liao jian xing. This is the one that you realize. Understand? Then from here, you can actually, no need to take rebirth, chang zu. And you decide when to come and under what causes and condition. But the initial bodhisattva cannot do this. Understand? Because they haven't liao liao jian xing. Understand? And most of them are sainthood way. After sainthood way, sometimes take bodhisattva vow also doubt. Understand? Not confident. No faith. There are a lot. Before they even reach the sainthood way, because they have parami, they met with the great beings as teacher or as their guide or whatever. So they have faith. They immediately take the bodhisattva vow, even before they realize sainthood way. These are the people who will also come, but 还没有了见性, they have a glimpse, a glimpse, how you call in Mandarin? Instead of 见性, a glimpse. The English were very good, no? Glimpse. Aha moment, but in Mandarin, how? Not 了了, just that glimpse. English word is very good. What is the Mandarin word? Never mind, you all go and find out, Google later. So what happened is, these two types, the initial bodhisattva, they actually start to try out that bodhisattva way and journey. But once you plant the seed of bodhi, you don't worry. But you will keep on coming out. Then you will keep on arise all this. So even if you have not realized the sainthood way until arahant, even when you take birth through the normal way, which they say go avijja, you don't worry, son. Well, your vow that you take, this one, the bohimaya inside here that you have planted, you have the faith, and you plant deep into your consciousness or your nature, this one will activate one. It will tell you what to do. Then you will recall. Then you continue. Then you try. Try until one day, 了了见性, you can decide when to come already. Otherwise, you cannot decide. It's still the karmic process. Rejoice. So now I can go into this deeper because there are people who can understand. Last time, if I tell this too early, nobody appreciate or can even comprehend. Understand? But now different. Now people not only have faith, some of them have progressed and done it. And one of them, I think the mandema is going to collapse based on what she reported to me. That's why all these are possible. It's not something impossible. If you know the way, if you know how to develop it, if you have the faith, if you have your past, all these are possible. So the beauty of the bodhisattva way is, you must understand, because our existential world and the secret of creation, this one is the secret of creation, or stages of creation. It involves such immense understanding, because the karmic process, it's already so complicated, understand? So what happened is, this karmic, from your karmic nature, it will condition rebirth consciousness, understand? Then you keep on coming. One segment. So let's say all these are your segmented rebirth consciousness. Actually, no space on. For normal living being. Upon death, rebirth consciousness, avijja, connected one. No space on. This one I have to draw to show you. Until finally, infinity. Understand? And you must understand, every life you come, every segment, how long do you live? Let's say human being. Average 75 years old. Okay? 75? Yes. Old. This is the average. Okay? So like I explained just now, when you arise, if you don't have this understanding of the bodhisattva way cultivation, you know what will happen to you. You born, then you grew up as a child, then you go to school. Yeah? Then after that, you graduate, you find a job, career. How old are you by then? At least 25. During my time, I graduated at 24. But my daughter era, 20 years old, she graduated. 4 years earlier. But then, like he said, that time still mong cha cha. Don't know about the Dhamma, not interested at all. Because you have your peers, society's influence, everything. So you don't have the paramiya, you think you will look for Dhamma? And most of you, I ask you all, when only you get interested in Dhamma? How long? Oh, when you retired. But no lah, a lot before retire. I know Ing Bi before retired, Padmasri before retired. But she also cried. You know. You ask Padmasri. Oh, he said, I've been looking for one who can guide. Cannot find. You know. Until later when she met me. You take the mic, Let Padmasri share first. This one very good. She cried, you know, when she met me.
I started seeking at the age of 20.
Oh, that's early.
Wow. 20, just immediately after secondary school, from 5. And my first retreat here is 1982.
Oh, sadhu.
82, 83. Up at the library there.
Sadhu, yeah.
And I've been seeking for a teacher. And first time when I met the first retreat we brought here, I sit at the place where Sister Ing Bi sit here. And I was crying. And then during one of the meditation report, I saw Brother Teo in robe, you know, sitting there.
A lot of people can see my nature. Han also can see, and many Kayamita told me. I appear differently.
That was 1982, and then Brother Teo is in KL 1989. I was in KL 1988, and I don't have the affinity to meet Brother Teo.
Until very much later.
Until Brother Sui An's
house. 2008 that time. So that's how it happened. So at the age of 20, let's say Padmasri research, but that time when you are 2008, how old are you? 48 years old, okay? 48 years old, you know, almost two-thirds already, you know. Only managed to find, you know, understand? You know? Then cultivate for how long? Now 2024. So 2024 minus 2008, how many years? 16, isn't it? After 16 years, only can have some form of understanding and joy, you know, and can take this vow, you know. So let's say, she was 48, plus 16, how old? 64 already, right? So 64, not much left, no? But most people live beyond this, lah. So what happened is, what I'm trying to tell you, if you don't meet beings like my nature or better, or those who have the understanding to guide you, most of them never get to meet the true Dhamma. Understand? That's why, 人生难得，佛法难闻. To be born a human being is very rare. And yet, to be born a human being during the sasana and have condition to meet up with the true Dhamma, you are not ordinary. Have faith in your nature. Otherwise, you cannot come here. You cannot have this condition. And this is the faith that you must have, the blessing. You must thank your good past, your good karmic nature for having this condition. So even let's say, at this point of time, some of you progress, understand this already, then they will continue very fast with all the faith. And this one will move by itself as well. But for those who never heard of the Dhamma, then I give you another example. Let's say you are born too early, no sasana, or too late after the sasana finish. What happened? You will get lost, understand? You have no sasana. Then this bodhisattva vow is help you because you vow to have this understanding life after life whenever you come or you choose to come, understand? Which means non-sasana, the bohi mind from inside, the bohi seed that you have planted will be activated. And this understanding will come back to you. Where you make the aspiration for all this understanding to come back to you. Can you follow? That's why this way, via this understanding, you can actually cultivate. Otherwise, during the small window sasana, you take birth and you still mong cha cha, no? Running around, looking for this, looking for that. Then sometimes argue, sometimes don't open mind. So all these are possible, understand? No? And most human beings are like that. Well, they are affinity with the triple gem, not that. Sometimes they have affinity, they meet. But karmic obstruction come, the karmic consciousness actually condition them into a way that they cannot receive. These are nature. Like the Buddha said, thing is just the way it is. Cannot be otherwise. So whatever happened, it is you. Understand? Your every segment of you. How you live your life, how you manifest, how you come, and how you go. Decide. So what you need to understand is, if the karmic process is like that, how can you break this chain to have the understanding, to understand the totality, the secret of life, and live life? The only way that this universe, so far as I know, the Buddhist, Bodhisattva way is the only way that has the ability to break this delusion and chain, to understand this whole process, and finally fulfill the Bodhisattva way and end this samsaric journey. Then you can understand the whole process. Do you understand? Then you can come as a Bodhisattva for whatever period of time you want. That's why a lot of the Bodhisattva, their vow, when they take, it's like they obstruct their own Sammasambuddhahood. All of them will make the vow, not until, like Xuanhua, he said, not until all his disciples or follower or those who take refuge under him become Sammasambuddha or not enlightened. No. He vowed not to realize the Buddhahood. He put like that. And he vowed to carry all their suffering. He got very, very heavy vow. Why? You think he's stupid? He is not stupid. He got a lot of wisdom. But he want to come. He want to do this work. Understand? So don't worry. What is important is as you cultivate the perfection like Kuan Yin, Manjusri, Wen Su, Di Zhang Hua, they already perfected. It's only when you want to realize that once in a lifetime type of Sammasambuddhahood. Understand? No? But doesn't mean that like Sakyamuni Buddha, after he come 2,600 over years ago, after his parinibbana, you think he no more. His nature is still there, understand? Not? So what happened is, he has this spiritual nature, maybe in red, spiritual nature. So this karmic nature and the spiritual nature. These two always exist on, even for Sammasambuddha. So which means their spiritual nature, after they perfect, it has become Buddha nature. Understand? That's why if you pay respect to Sakyamuni Buddha, you actually pay respect to his Buddha nature. And there will be a response. So this one, if you understand, Sakyamuni Buddha, no more. The Theravada always tell you, in his own word, this is my last birth, they always say. Understand? He the peon of joy, where he reside. House builder, I have seen you. That main beam, the top one, the rich pole, has already been shattered. Understand? No? You shall build no more house. So they all conclude, the Buddha, no more rebirth. But you don't understand. He didn't lie. When he spoke there in that life, no more rebirth. Understand? We are that consciousness without avijja. But the vow, the Buddha nature is still there. If he choose to come, he can still arise from the karmic nature. Because he has this love and compassion. Understand? Then he can still condition a form and mind to come. But after that he come, he's not a Sammasambuddha anymore. Understand? But that Sammasambuddha prediction by Dipankara Buddha is a once in a lifetime thing. Understand? After that, you cannot have that condition anymore. So, what is the difference? That's why the great being, the Bodhisattva, like Kuan Yin Liao, no problem. Understand? But this one, once your entire existence, you can have one. So they know what this thing is. So to them, never mind. They just continue with their work. Yeah. And they like to come. Why? Wonderful existence. Zhen Kong Miao Yu. Okay? Can follow? What's the time already? Huh? 11 already. Oh, we have to stop already. Meditation already. Okay, I just finish off the last part. Let me have a drink. Okay. The good friend, we have already spoken, law of karma. So if you don't want to make friend with law of karma, better sincerely work hard. Then strive on with heedfulness, then realize the thing. You will take birth through your karmic nature. But law of karma got no power over you, understand? I mean, it still operates, understand? But you don't have delusion. So it cannot kacau you, understand? It cannot trick you. It cannot delude you. But he is still your good friend, understand? Because how the good karma operate, that part still come to you, understand? Like you appear like very blessed, very lucky, and a lot of things go your way. You understand the process, the secret of life. When you understand the whole of the creation, the secret of life, you know how to live life, true or not? True or not, you know how to live life. You mean now, until now you don't know how to live life. Maybe you don't know the whole secret of life, but at least you know how not to get into trouble, understand? You know how to avoid Dhammapada verse 1, work on Dhammapada verse 2. Then perfect yourself until your parami is so perfect and so complete, every life you come is wonderful existence. You connect early, you get to understand all this early, like my this segmented life. I come very fast, age 35, I connect. I leave the third phase of Dhamma until now. Now already 70 years, so 40 years already. Still good life. Oh, no, 35, 35, 70, not 40, 35 years. So 35 years of third phase of Dhamma, Pati Veda. And that is wonderful existence. Like I share with you in my seminar book, I realized not only all the success, materialistic, even the spiritual. And I reached the pinnacle of it for every of that thing. That's how I live life to the fullest. I get to experience all of the pristine wonder and beauty of life. And this is possible with this understanding and cultivation. That's why my Theta 208 asked me to pass down this understanding. And this is the work I'm supposed to do, the two. Zhen Fa means first is the teaching. Second is the modified Bodhisattva way, to go this way, so that you won't get lost, so that it can prepare you to have all this understanding in future. Okay? Okay, I read a bit more, then we finish. And every life you come, you also don't know who is going on, what is going on because of your circuitry. You only complain have worry, fear, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, etc. To pay back what? Ah, your karmic debt. What, your karmic debt, more than the money you have in your bank, I think. But if you cultivate, then that karmic debt no more. But you got asset, spiritual asset, understand not? Merits. Then every time, blame. Why am I like that? Why am I so unlucky? Why is God so unfair? But in the past, when you do that to other people earlier on, you don't question yourself the same way. But when karma hit back at you, where you reap what you sow, you complain and you cannot understand why you are so miserable. Why is everything not right? You make other people miserable and fearful because you don't have the right thought, the understanding, or the sympathy towards others. Means no love, no compassion to your own delusion. The heedless continuously do all this coming evil. And life after life, when they come, they have to pay back all this karmic debt. So these five stages of Bohemian development are very beautiful. The last stage is the Bohemian of the consummate, which means you reach the pinnacle of wisdom and compassion, and you complete the Buddhahood training. Meaning you have completed the cultivation of the 10 perfection. And Master Sun Yan asks, where do you stand in the five stages of Bohemian development? If you are very confident, you should say at least stage one, everybody already have. Miss 20% already, no, not bad. Oh, 20 mark already. Okay? So you don't have to worry. And stage one is very easy, very simple, because you just have to aspire. So you don't have to worry, for you have got nothing to lose, but everything to gain. Or have we not yet generate the Bohemian, which means first stage you also don't have. Bohemian also not generated yet and not planted as yet, which means you are not sincere because you don't have the faith and the determination to go this way as yet. That's the reason why you must aspire with utmost sincerity, faith, and determination to plant the seed of Bohi. And this aspiration is very important. This is the Dhamma I need to have. This is the right view I need to understand. I'm going all out to plant this seed of Bohi so as not to miss this window of opportunity, so that every life when this nature comes, whether you choose to come or you have to come, it will have this type of understanding. After you have planted this Bohemian, the seed of Bohi will nurture, grow, and it will also, and it can also be nourished through wisdom and compassion. You must have wisdom and compassion. Then the next thing you do, for you to do, is every day you need to read through the Bodhisattva vows note, means the yellow card, via your sincere mind to renew the four great vows and all your other aspirations and affirmations, so as to remember them firmly until you can recite them without having to refer to the notes anymore. This may take 3 months or 6 months, it's up to you. The question is, or the reason why I want you to do this, if this life also you cannot remember, you think when you take rebirth you can remember? That Bohemian, no way. But if you have developed it until it has become a part of you, until this one is what you want, the affirmation, and then you invoke power of merits, then through the nature's law, it will activate, it will come out. Otherwise, cannot. That's why you must be serious about it. Until it becomes very clear to you. Until this life, that's why I say you must make sure this life you do this. Then after that, all your future coming taken care of. Understand? Worthwhile or not? Just one line, you understand not? And jackpot, no. All the way until Buddhahood. No. Like that also don't want to sacrifice. You want to wait for next life. Next life, I may not be around. You understand? Maybe you find a better one, I don't know. You keep your finger crossed. Okay? Can. Pama, rejoice first. Sadhu. Pama Suri, yeah.
Good morning, everybody. Okay, I would like to share something which Fa Chan Sifu shared with me this morning at the dining table there. He told me when you take five precepts, the precept will vanish the moment we die. The precept no more. If you take Bodhisattva vow, this vow will follow you until Buddhahood.
Yeah.
Your vow will follow you until the Buddhahood. So it's something that I think most of us haven't heard before. So you will have this vow with you along the line of existence now. Whatever form you take, the vow is with you. Your vow, the precept is with you. Okay, thank you.
Sadhu. let the recording go in, otherwise they cannot hear what Kong Chai say. No, you just repeat what you say just now. Just for the benefit of those online people.
Okay, after what Padma Shri said, that is the vow will follow you from life to life until you gain Buddhahood. And then Brother Teo said it's jackpot. I said more than jackpot.
Okay, thank you. So what Baba Sri say is, Fa Chan Sufu say one is true. Because as a lay person, when you recite your precepts, means you undertake the training rule to do this. So what happened is you don't have the Bodhisattva vow, your Bodhi mind not planted, that nature cannot give rise to that understanding. But because you plant the seed of Bodhi, and this one will activate, then your vow, through the nature's law, will be reminded to you. Then when you know you have this vow, which means you must have the three sets of pure precept, everything. Well, for a Bodhisattva to go this way, you need all this. That's why that precept will be with you. And precept is just one of the small things. What is important is all the understanding. Rupang anichang, rupang anatta, the five aggregate, they are dependent origination, condition, arising entity. Not you, not a permanent unchanging. Then one more important. Then the other thing is how to break all the karmic obstruction. Understand not? Then the other one is all the what they call understanding that you have developed this life. That this form and mind is just a vehicle and tool, condition from your karmic nature come out for you to come to this existential world, to live life and all those things. So all this understanding you have, you come, your Sakkaya Ditthi no more. Then you can understand Dhamma, you can live life, and you understand why human beings are like that. And how come you come out, you different. You cannot get yourself entangled with Sakkaya Ditthi anymore. So that is the reason why the Bodhisattva way, through the Buddha's wisdom, especially the original Buddha, Virochana Buddha, the first Sammasambuddha, he realized it, then he passed down this teaching. That's why you all should have gratitude towards Virochana Buddha. That all this understanding can let you understand, no matter how complicated and extensive this creation process is, you can understand. Because every segment you come very short compared to all the existence of this universe, which is billions and billions and billions of years. But yet, through all this segment, if you know this way, you can come and you can develop all the understanding. That's why it's a very unique teaching, a very, very special teaching. Okay? Sadhu. Okay, we end. So, mission accomplished. Okay, you have your meditation.